an episode of Light the Lamp here on DuckStream. I'm your host, Alexis Downey. We are very excited to welcome in today's guest, the host on the NHL on TNT, Liam McHugh. Liam, so great to catch up with you again. How have you been doing?
Great. Season's been awesome. It's exciting. Lots of young stars stepping up. It's been, pleasantly surprising, which I think in many ways is like the Duck season right now. So entertaining, surprising, it's been a blast so far.
I mean, this is year five for the NHL on TNT. Kind of hard to believe it's already been this long. I mean, how is it different than the first couple seasons? Is it different even?
It's definitely different. I mean, in that I think we're very accustomed to each other. I mean, the first year is definitely that feeling out period, which went very quickly because I felt like we had a lot of chemistry right away, which was cool and surprising and rare, really, in this, because usually it's a lot more like hurdles and obstacles and getting used to people, but that wasn't the case. And now the cool thing is that we fall right back into it, which is nice. And it's about just making it a little bit better every single time and maybe just, you know, balancing the information with the entertainment. And, you know, I think it's also just the people behind the scenes. They do such a good job with us, but it's everyone knowing our cadence and knowing when we're probably going to go off the rails, which is often, and just letting us go. And, you know, every once in a while pulling us back when we're like right at a line that we shouldn't cross. But for the most part, I hope people enjoy it because it's so much fun to do. Mm-hmm. And it definitely doesn't feel like work.
Well, as the host on the panel, I mean, when you do have to reel it in, like who is the person that you're usually reeling in? I feel like I maybe know the answer to this, but maybe someone that might surprise people.
Well, it's 99% of the time it's Biz.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah. Paul Bissonnette is going to take us places that we didn't expect to go, which is the best part about it. I love being able to ask a very, very easy, very open question that I feel like I know the answer to, mm-hmm. and having no idea where he is going to take this. And that's what makes the show fun. I mean, it makes it entertaining and it makes a season that, you know, I mean, hockey is a long season and you'll hear the players talk about it, right? Like, it's a grind that we got to get through. And even though we're winning, we're doing well, they understand like it's a process. This doesn't feel like a grind when you work with him. So, but that being said, I think he frees up everyone else to then just decide to say random things that are on their mind now as well, because initially everyone had a filter and then they ran into Biz and they were like, oh, I don't have to have that filter. Now I could just say something, even though it makes no sense whatsoever, but it just happened to pop into my head. And we all just sit there like, oh, is this what you wanted to talk about? Let's talk about this for a little bit. I think the cool thing is that the audience is sort of accepted it, gone with it, embraces it. And then for me, I don't care about reeling it in so much if it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. If it's more entertaining than what we were talking about before, if it's more interesting than what we were talking about before, it's great to let it go. Mm-hmm. Then there are times where it's like, hey, this is playoff hockey and there are things to talk about. And the cool thing is our guys know that and they're more focused and honed in and they want to break down. They want to show people what they've learned about the game and educate people at home. So it's a cool balance and it's never boring, which is the best part.
It feels like also those player interviews, the players have bought into that and have really opened up to you guys. How do you feel like, you know, the panel and TNT and all of it has helped amplify hockey? Because I know you've worked in this sport for a long time previously with NBC. So now, you know, being in this role, how have you seen the NHL grow from this?
Yeah, I've been doing this quite a number of years at this point, and I had seen flashes of interviews that were interesting and entertaining. And it's difficult sometimes. I mean, a pregame on the ice interview, you get some guys that aren't going to buy in. They don't want to do it, and they're locked in and they're focused. And I think you have to respect that. But you also know that there are guys out there who are loose, mm-hmm. and don't mind. And you see them like when they're warming up, some guys are racing around. There are other guys just standing against the boards as if like, you know, they're just watching and soaking it all in. And I think we've done a good job of identifying the people who get our show, understand it, and want to be a part of it. And we put them in that position pregame. Postgame is a different story. Postgame, it's after someone's happy, they played well. Usually it's a lot easier to get someone to open up. Pregame, I think it's a relationship with the teams. Mm-hmm. It's understanding, to ask people in PR, like, hey, who's going to be, this week, who do you think might be someone who is going to be open to, just having a loose conversation, two or three questions, one or two of those three may be way out of bounds in terms of what they expected going into a game. And they've been pretty good about putting us in the right position to, talk to the people who are going to embrace that. Mm-hmm. I think for us, we know hockey players have personalities.
Yeah.
We know that they're interesting, that they're entertaining, that they're funny, that they have great stories. And I was sick and tired of hearing that they didn't. We just needed to be able to bring it out of them and let them know that we're not doing it to embarrass them. Mm-hmm. We're not doing it to call them out. And I think once people got that, they were a little bit more willing to buy in and share some of their stories with us. And I think the sport's better off for that. You want to know more about these guys. You're wearing their jersey. You're buying tickets. You're rooting for them. And now if they flash a little personality, I think it builds that bond between the fan and the player.
100% agree. And that's one of the fun things that we love about Duckstream too. We're able to help share the player stories off the ice as well. And you guys were able to even do that during the Cup final last year, going back to, when you were in Florida and some of those games. I know that TNT doesn't obviously have the Cup this year, but when you look back to last season, what was that experience like? Of course, you've been a part of a couple of these now, but how did this one, was it any different too?
They're all a little bit different,
yeah.
And then you have to examine the fact that like both teams had been there, right? They'd been in the final, but we're facing dramatically different pressures, right? Edmonton, it was, finally breaking through and getting over the hump and trying to get to the Cup. And for Florida, it was third straight trip, trying to win back to back. But there's a looseness to having been there and won it. And I think the Panthers players really exemplified that. And they were able to share that with us. And I think what you want to get out of Edmonton is that sense of like urgency and that sense of tension and pressure. And I think the cool thing for us is like, there really is no bad interview. If someone comes on and they are short and to the point, even if we're asking them strange questions, it's just like, all right, that guy wants nothing to do with us right now. Like he's ready to go. He's ready to play. And I think you can laugh at yourself and be like, I can't believe we bothered him in that moment. We obviously should not have done that. And I think if you're willing to embrace that and put yourself in the viewer's seat, like, wow, that's a little uncomfortable. I think you have to say that. You have to say, that was really uncomfortable. We shouldn't have done that. And laugh about it. People at home, they're going to laugh along. They're going to have some fun. And I don't know. They're all different. But that one was definitely a different level. Because with Edmonton, it always felt like when we were there, it wasn't just the players. It was every member of that city, every citizen there. Felt like they had something riding us. And that's a unique feeling in sports, especially like if you're from a big American city. Yeah, a lot of people embrace it, but then there are a lot of people just walking the streets who have no idea what's going on. That is not the case. Everywhere you went in Edmonton, people were draped in Oilers colors. So to see that and to see the players dealing with that pressure and their own individual pressures, and for them to sort of be able to share that with us, I think it leads to, the casual fan being able to latch on to something and understand, and maybe you're rooting for Edmonton now. Maybe you're just sitting there like, God, I hope these guys win because this whole place is just going to feel crushed afterward if they don't.
It was really cool to see some of the behind the scenes videos that were also done of your set and you guys during the games on site. Is it a lot different for you guys to be on site? Because obviously all season long, you're in the studio except for the big events. So do you prefer to be on site? I'm curious.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's an energy in the building, right? And you capture that. And it doesn't feel like there are any lulls. I think when you're in the studio, steps aside for a commercial or, if the game's dragging a little bit, it feels that way. If if you feel the energy of the crowd or the nervousness or the tension, it doesn't make a difference if the game is dragging. And, in a Stanley Cup final, it rarely feels that way anyway. But I love that energy. And I think we have a great team, on air and off air that embraces it and want to show it. And the whole idea is, like, we're there. We want to share this with you because you didn't get to be here. Right. So let's show you what this is like. Let's make you feel like you're there. And everyone who's on set wants to share something with you that they just encountered. And the cool thing is, like, we're right there. Like, there are fans sitting, feet away from us who are shouting things at all of us, mostly Viz, occasionally, like, everybody's trying to get Gretzky to sign something, of course. And then, there's people trying to get pictures with Lundqvist. It's a circus.
And you too.
You know, it's like people send stuff up to the desk, and if they're lucky enough to get something up there and they want it signed, it like eventually makes its way down to me. And I turn around and I'm like, you don't have to have me sign this. Like, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I'm devaluing your property right now because it's awesome the way it is. And I'm going to make this so much worse. And I get that look of like, oh, thank you. Like, because I didn't want to say something. And you're right. I really didn't want your signature on it. Yeah. So there's nothing like being there in person. Yeah. It's such a great live sport. But I would say that we're comfortable in our studio. Love being there and being there for the playoffs when it feels like we are there, 6 to 7 days a week, 14 hours a day. There's something about that. Like, you can either go into that and think, oh God, this is gonna be a lot of work, or I feel like for us, it's like, oh, all right, like summer camp started. It's like we're there. We basically live there. We're, brushing our teeth like there. We're, I'm there like 17 hours a day. Yeah. So, and there's something great about that. And I look forward to it so much. And I think, we're lucky because it's any job. It's the people you work with, and I get to be around them as much as possible. And it's such a great group energy-wise. So. That's in ideally how I would spend every spring.
Yeah. It's a second home for you, and the energy this year in particular with the start of the NHL season, hard to believe that we're already a quarter into the year already. I mean, for you, you mentioned the Ducks earlier, so let's start with the Ducks. How much of a surprise have they been to see in the early parts of this season?
I thought they'd be better. I'll leave it at that. I thought they'd be better and would be interesting. And we'd be kind of on bubble watch with them throughout the season. And a few individuals would pop along the way, maybe not the entire time, but here and there, there'd be sort of like, oh, wow, that was a 4-point game, like Carlson, or, oh, wow, like Connor Gauthier had, two goals and was out there and he looked, flying up and down the ice. I did not anticipate, the 7-game winning streak and this team, just the confidence and speed that they play with. And I definitely did not anticipate that a few veterans like Chris Kreider and Jacob Trouba would seem to have new life breathed into their career. I think I find that so impressive. And I've seen some of the interviews that Chris Kreider's done post game, and I put those against the ones he did the last few years in New York. And the joy that's on his face, like, and the happiness he's having playing the game, it's a beautiful thing. And it's such a wonderful thing to see because he's a talented player and you want to see a guy go out there and do what he can do and really enjoy it. So I didn't anticipate that. And I think I undervalued, which is a stupid thing to do, but I undervalued the importance of Joel Quenneville being able to blend it all, or at least blend it all this quickly.
Yeah.
And he's... which again, I'll reiterate, a stupid thing to do because the guy's a legend and one of the greatest coaches of all times. And he's done, such a dynamite job with this team. But beyond that, I always say when you have a team, you want at least one of two things, right? You want them to be good or you want them to be entertaining. Mm-hmm. And the best part about the Ducks is that they're both.
Yeah.
They are good and they are entertaining because they're a high octane offense. They're up and down the ice. And I think they have a player in Leo Carlson who I think has the potential to be among the faces of the league for a generation, which is just an incredible thing. If you could be one of the people who you instantly think of the NHL and you think of a few players, he can be one of those guys. And I now really love the idea that because of what the Ducks are doing, because San Jose is somewhat on the rise, and has young stars like Macklin Celebrini, and LA is still, you know, a good team, a playoff team. That West Coast trip is rough again. It used to be brutal back in the day. And now it's like, and then for a couple of years, it was like, all right, we're going out west. We got two or three at least. Now it's like, oh God, we got to go out west and play these teams. But it's great for us because we, you know, we do these back-to-back games. We do doubleheaders Wednesday night. And you want those teams because that second game is where you want to hold that audience. Mm-hmm. And holding that audience in the first game requires, you know, more than just a good matchup, requires a little bit of excitement and a little jolt of electricity. And the Ducks are the type of team that kind of give you that instantly. It's eye-popping, the speed that they play.
The Ducks even gave it that effect recently when they took on Colorado. Now, obviously, the game didn't go the way the team wanted it to. But in seeing the way that Colorado plays for the first time against Anaheim, I mean, just another level that they're playing at. But that game in particular, that was the first one. The Ducks are on TNT this season. They're going to be on TNT again next week when they're playing Utah. You know, I mean, you had fans tuning in to see the Ducks for that game and to see that top matchup.
I think it was so cool to have this level of excitement and hype. And I think what's fun about our show also is that people sometimes say the quiet part out loud. And the quiet part, I think, was that a few years ago, if we had the Ducks on a back-to-back of doubleheader, there was a lot of like, is this going to be a good game? Is it going to be a matchup? Is it going to be entertaining? And now it's like, all right, we got the Ducks on. This is going to be great. Like, and what stood out to me, I mean, other than the fact that like the Ducks are, you know, on the rise, is how important the game seemed to be to Colorado. It felt to me that this team of superstars and veterans that is just tearing up the league had heard everything and seen everything that everyone else was seeing and hearing about this Ducks team and circled it and said, we have to bring it. We have to put a statement out there. We have to show that we are, listen, we're the team to beat in the West. This team is young. They're on the rise, but they are not at our level yet. I thought that was, I just thought it was interesting. This wasn't one of those like, hey, midweek, early in the season, and we're skating into it. Like, you know, let's see if we can figure this out in the third period. Now, it felt like Colorado was like, this is important to us. And that means something.
Yeah.
Like, and it should mean something to Ducks fans. It really should, that people are looking at you on the schedule and thinking, all right, like, we got to be ready right from the start to play against this team. And that's, it's such an important factor. And the fact that it's happening for this team with this many young players who are key contributors, it's such a great thing. And it bodes well for the next decade.
You mentioned Chris Kreider. Did you happen to see the photo of him and Jacob Trouba walking in their duck clogs on Saturday to the game?
Oh, I can't believe I missed this. I'm Jazz, our stats guy. I'm going to fire him this week, although someone will fire him before I do. So, and then he'll be rehired and be back on. I missed that.
Well, you're going to have to look for it because we had this special collaboration with a local Orange County luxury streetwear brand. And part of that is the duck clogs, which have been online. I don't know if you have seen them within the last month, but they dropped on Saturday and the two guys walked in together wearing them. So it's a great photo, great video. You're going to have to look for
it. I'm surprised that my kids haven't shared this with me because like I spend 90% of my life trying to get them off devices and they're like, and then of course, then they show me something cool and I'm like, all right, well, that was pretty cool. So I guess you can go ahead and keep searching. So I when I get off this call, I'm sure if I ask them, they're like, yeah, you didn't see that?
Yeah.
Of course, everyone saw.
Speaking to the personality and this fresh start that we've seen for both of them, that's a good example of it.
I think it's important that they're having fun. I mean, and I think given what happened in New York and, you know, there were a lot of ways to describe the Rangers last year, but fun was not one of them. Mm-hmm. And it felt like, just an absolute slog through a miserable season that a lot of people had a lot of hope for. So to be able to turn the page that quickly is something else. And Jacob Trouba putting up points, which is awesome. And Kreider doing his thing on the power play. It just makes his team so much more dangerous.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun for the fans out here. And also when the team's at home, they've been playing really well too. So that's been a part of it. But Liam, when we're talking about teams around the league, obviously the powerhouse that Colorado is, but what's another team out West, you know, besides the Ducks and Colorado that has either been a surprise to you or that you have your eye on?
I mean, I'm interested in Utah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a team that I'm just keeping an eye on because I think there's some similarities with that Ducks team. You know, there's speed and youth, and it does feel like a team that's on the uptick. I've been very shocked by Chicago and the fact that they are so competitive right now. They're not, I don't see them as a playoff team, but I did not think that they were going to be making the jump that they're making, where now I think you look at Chicago and you see, like, all right, we got a tough match. Yeah. And I think in years past, it felt like, all right, we're going to go to Chicago, we're going to pick up some points, and we're going to move on. But you know, that's been a big surprise. I would say, you know, I mean, negatively, I would say I shouldn't be surprised by Edmonton, given their recent history and how they've started off seasons. They're actually pretty close to points-wise where they were the last few years. Mm-hmm. It just felt to me, when I go back to what Florida did, when they lost in the final, and then came back the next year. What was fascinating about that team is you knew how much they put into it. You knew there were serious injuries at the end of it. And then they came up short against Vegas. Mm-hmm. They showed up in October and it felt like they were picking up where they left off in May in terms of the intensity and the physicality. And I couldn't believe it because it felt, this is way too long a season for me for them to pick up in October and play that style the whole way through. And I found it, so ambitious of them, and they did it, which was incredible. So I thought maybe we'd see that from Edmonton, where it would pick up and we're tacking the season right from the start. It didn't work out that way. I think not having Zach Hyman was a big part of that. And I think not having Evander Kane, who has moved on and is on Vancouver, changes the dynamic of this team physically. They've struggled, and I have no doubt that they will make the playoffs, but they don't feel like a team that is destined to break through at this point and get back to a final and finally win it. I mean, McDavid and you know, Draisaitl can turn things on and change all that in a heartbeat, but it doesn't feel that way at all right now. But the Ducks are a team I'm watching. Utah is a team that I'm definitely watching. And, you know, I mean, individually, watching Bedard and Celebrini make this push. I mean, I think we expected maybe one of the two of them to make a push and make it uncomfortable for John Cooper to pick a Canadian roster that is more or less exactly the same as the one that won the Four Nations. I don't know how you don't put these guys on now. It's going to be. And the funny thing is, if you don't. And knowing the little that I know about at least Connor Bedard and how personally he's going to take that, he may just tear up the rest of the league, you know, and wind up winning like the Art Ross Trophy because he's just so angry. But I didn't expect that jump. But it's cool to have individuals now coming out and making their teams must watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talk about the young players. I mean, to see those guys at the top of the points leaders in the league so early, it's so exciting for this next, you know, generation that it's not even coming anymore. It's already here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, we have this Crosby and Ovechkin, and I think to some extent, to a large extent, we had McKinnon and McDavid. It just hasn't played out in championships quite the same way. It certainly trips to the final and MVPs. And I think being the two best players on the planet, it's definitely worked out that way. It feels like, that next generation is here, and it doesn't feel like this is, oh wow, like hot start and we'll see how this goes or can they do this next year? This does not feel like that. Yeah. This feels like this is going to be a year after year thing. And these teams are going to be able to build around these players. And the cool thing is we're going to get to see these guys play playoff hockey fairly soon.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to see, because that's what will make this right. You want to see, you know, Celebrini and you want to see Carlson in the playoffs, head to head, big moments. You want to see Bedard in Chicago and United Center just going crazy in a game six or game seven. And it doesn't feel like we're that far away from it. I mean, I think for Anaheim, it's this year. And I think for the other teams, I mean, it's a couple of years away. But the cool thing is, again, once they're there, I think they're there for a long time, which is the best part. And that's the best way to rebuild, right? Yeah. If you rebuild to get an 8 seed and then right back out, it doesn't matter. And you're constantly chasing. That's not the case. These teams are going to rebuild. They're going to be back in. They're going to be powers.
We've been talking a lot about the Western Conference. How about in the East? Is there a team that has surprised you, or is there a team also that, you know, you're kind of wondering what's going to happen with?
Yeah, I mean, I'll selfishly go right to my Islanders, who are a massive pleasant surprise. I did not see this at all, that they'd be in the mix in their division, that they look like a real playoff team. And I did not see Matthew Schaefer being this good this fast. I think like a lot of people, because he didn't play a ton of games last year before he was drafted. And, you know, when the Islanders won the lottery, it didn't feel like a moment where it was like, oh, my God, that's going to change the fate of that franchise, which it has in the past for teams that have won the lottery. It felt like, all right, good. They'll add a good piece. And that has not been the case. Matthew Schaefer looks like a cornerstone type player and personality for that team.
Yeah.
And a guy who can, you know, eventually, you know, be the captain of that team and lead this club. And to do what he's doing as a, you know, as a D-man at his age, I mean, he turned 18 in September. I mean, it's baffling to, you know, the weight that's on his shoulders and how gracefully he handles it all. So they've been a big surprise for me. I would say negatively, I still think there's hope for the Rangers. I'd put them, you know, right now as an uncertainty. Clearly, it's Toronto. Toronto has been just far worse than I thought. I thought there'd be struggles. You can't lose a 100-point player in Mitch Marner. Try to replace him with depth pieces and expect that everything's going to be smooth. But they've been hit hard by injuries. They can't seem to put a 60-minute effort forth, even though, I mean, Craig Berube's out there basically begging them to just, you know, to back up a good period with another good period effort wise. It feels right now like this is a team that's going to miss the playoffs. And if they miss the playoffs, I mean, I know we panic every year in Toronto, you're going to get all the media coverage and people start panicking. It just doesn't feel like a team that's good enough right now as is to climb out of the hole they're in. Even though I know technically everyone in the East is still in it. But now I think that's been the downside to this. And then for a while, and it's still seeming, you know, to be right around playoff picture, is Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Because I thought we'd already be at this point approaching Thanksgiving and having huge discussions about where Sidney Crosby was going to get traded to if he decides to let Pittsburgh trade him. And there's no way now. There's if they are in the mix, there's just no way that he's going to get dealt. And I don't care how old this makes me sound, because I'm old and I know it. It doesn't matter to me. The playoffs are better when Sidney Crosby's in. And if we can get Crosby and Malkin and Letang for one more playoff run, I'm all about it. I really hope it happens because the way they started the season is just sensational.
Yeah, it's good for hockey for sure to see those guys in the playoffs. And yeah, it's definitely surprising. I know it seems like to a lot of people with the way that their season has gone and the fact that we're not having that conversation at this point. Liam, as you look to the future and, you know, the next couple months of the season for you guys, I know obviously you guys have the Winter Classic coming up on January 2nd in Miami, a warm location this year. What are you looking forward to about that and the rest of the season?
I'm looking forward to not freezing my ass off for the first time in a Winter Classic. That's for sure, because I've done that forever, and this is going to be great.
Minnesota.
I'm excited. Ann Arbor in a blizzard. So, and the best part is, like, you're hearing from people. They're like, "It looks great on TV." I'm like, "Well, it better."
I have hand warmers.
It's like I can't feel any of my extremities, and I you know, you have that. Your mouth is frozen. So like it sounds like you're drunk half the time. And then people wonder why before you go on the air, because people are watching us from the stands, like you're sitting there and you're moving. I'm like, I'm warming up my mouth so that I can speak and it's not frozen shut. I'm excited for it. Florida's turning into a great place for hockey, and Tampa Bay for years has made it that way. And now with the Florida Panthers. So they deserve this. It's you know, an exciting thing to have him there, and certainly gives the Rangers a team that's going to have a ton of fans down in Florida. So it'll be interesting to see what the fan base dynamic is between those two clubs. It's going to be great. And I know Anson Carter did one of our outdoor games with NBC when it was out in LA at Dodger Stadium. And he said, you know, there was something special about, you know, seeing palm trees, you know, especially for a Canadian kid to see palm trees and the sunset. And then there'd be a hockey game outside. You know, I think it blew his mind. And I'm so excited for that. And I'm sort of excited because Henrik Lundqvist has promised us like some sort of unique attire for this, which I'm assuming is going to be like some sort of three piece but short sleeved suit. So like I don't know if they make that short sleeve three piece. They'll make it for Hank. Yeah. They'll make something custom. So I'm excited for that. And then just, you know, any road trip with the guys, it feels like it's, you know, like I'm back in college and I get to hang out with the boys a little bit. So I'm excited for that.
That's awesome. Well, can't wait to see whatever it is that he puts together at the Winter Classic. We will be keeping our eye on that as well. But Liam, so great to catch up with you. Looking forward to seeing the Ducks on TNT next week, too. And enjoy that game and the rest of the season. Thanks for joining us.
I always love chatting with you. Thanks so much for having me on.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.